The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good evening, Bahamas. This is The Urologist Speaks with Bahamian urologist Dr. Gregory Pinto. My co-host this week is Dr. Parker Curling, Dr. Christine Parker Curling, who is a Bahamian internist and endocrinologist. And we are very fortunate to have in the studio as our only guest, a national icon in his own right, a gentleman by the name of Mr. Calvin Green, who's very instrumental in our community on so many levels. He's a national leader within the church. He's a national youth leader. He's he's a co-chair of the National Junkanoo Committee. He's a secretary at the Bahamas Boxing Commission. He's been involved in tourism for decades in terms of catering, beverages, and restaurants. He was one of the instrumental persons on the ground for CHOGM, heads of government, the Commonwealth heads of government meeting all the way back in 1985. So that's putting a few years on you, Calvin, but you look like a young man. Welcome, Mr. Calvin Green.
Welcome. I'm sitting between two doctors, Dr. Curling and Dr. Pinto. Thank you for having me here. Let's have some conversations.
Yes, so we're going to talk about everything under the sun. But firstly, condolences to the nation, the Gomez family, and the Anglican community in the passing of national icon Bishop Drexel Gomez. We all strive to leave this life, Drexel Gomez, having made the world a little bit better than when we first entered it. And I can recall decades ago, I'm not even sure if he was a bishop at the time, listening to what I found a very inspirational sermon from Bishop Drexel Gomez, where he basically called on those listening for national unity and trying to provide a service to your community. So when I look at our society now, Dr. Parker Curling and Mr. Calvin Green, I see a very fragmented society, a country that's at odds with itself, and we're at a crucial junction. We can go one direction or we can go another direction. We can look at the glass half empty or half full, and we can do what we want with that. So the country as a whole lacks unity. We lack cohesiveness. We're divided along political lines, PLP, FNM, COI. I always stress that this is an apolitical radio show. I don't really care about either political party. But I always wanted to stress, talk about issues. No matter what political party is in power, the issues are always going to be the same. We're also predominantly a Christian, or well, let's say supposedly Christian nation, but we're further divided by denominations. We're divided along the lines of haves and have-nots. We're divided by the rich and the poor and the widening gap between them. We're divided by Bahamians in an ever-increasing Haitian community. We're divided by the inhabitants of New Providence and those in Grand Bahama and in the Family Islands. So we need to come together as people who love our nation. We need to find solutions to the problems of our nation. So we're going to talk about a lot of issues. And I think when we talk, what are the hot topics bothering our country? Crime, I would say, is number one. Would you disagree with that, Dr. Parker Curley?
No, it's a clear and present danger.
The rising cost of living, that affects us all. Mm-hmm. The lack of affordable housing, the lack of jobs and opportunities, particularly in the Family Islands. We're going to talk about a little bit more in depth regarding that, Mr. Green, because, Calvin, I know you're from Andros, mm-hmm. and Andros is your heart. and you are very disturbed by the number of young people who basically abandon Andros for greener pastures, and Andros is failed to be developed. I mean, after decades, in fact, the country is going, the island, our largest island is actually going backwards. So we're going to talk about that. Immigration is also an important issue. Immigration is also at a crossroads. Our failing educational system, and then the loss of the nuclear family in this Bahamas. Gangs is also a problem. Mm-hmm. Young men in this country, Mr. Green.
You know, I think what happens with that is gangs give young men what I call a sense of belonging, a sense of love, things that they may not have at home. And you may wonder, how does a young fellow go about and he just shoots somebody and he doesn't even think that it's somebody's uncle, somebody's brother, somebody's dad? And when you don't experience what I call love and understanding what it is to be loved and to grow up in a family that you are nurtured and you're told what love is all about and to experience it, you don't know that if you've never experienced it. So you can very easily go and kill somebody and shoot somebody and not think it's somebody's brother, somebody's nephew, somebody's father, without experiencing that deep feeling of love. And I say I think in our country, a lot of men have a difficulty with understanding what it is to feel and to express how it is to feel love and to know what it is to have somebody show you love. And we have a difficulty with that. But I want to, Doc, you were talking about jobs. And you know, I have to mention this. The sad thing about it in our country is when we think about jobs and we think about young people without jobs is that we have a workforce that, in my mind, we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of people who think they can make big money coming out of school, and you have not even done anything to earn that money. People who find it very difficult. You know, restaurants, not only restaurants, I think most businesses in our country are challenged to find good people to work for them. You may interview 10 people for a job and find only one that could be suitable. And so we have a real issue with the human resources in our country, people coming to work, and just understanding what it is to work.
You said a lot of important points, and we're just scratching the surface, but I agree very wholeheartedly that many young men feel marginalized by society. They feel that not even there's a lack of acceptance even within their own family unit. Dr. Parker Curling, what are your thoughts in terms of gangs, young men, and basically the slow degradation of the Bahamian society because of it?
I agree with the sentiments already expressed that if a grouping provides you with a sense of belonging, and that is who you now begin to identify with, be with, then you are going to adopt those values as your own. And so a lot of the things we learn about how to relate to people, how to interact with people, how to love, how to view the value of people, and how to view the value of our own lives is learned not necessarily directly, but implicitly through the development of the relationships that we have. And so, you know, depending on that dynamic, let's say if you are a part of, let's call it a gang, and, you know, people are lost, people get shot, new members come, old members go, that the value of life, the value that's assigned to life, the value that's assigned to relationships can be compromised. Or I suppose you can say you don't know what happened to that particular person in their experience. And if this has happened to me, then why shouldn't it happen to you? So how much of this is retaliation? How much of this is I have nothing to lose? And therefore, you know, what I see, what I need, or when I'm told to do something, I'm going to do it because I'm going to report back to the people who provide me with a sense of belonging. And so I think it all comes to perhaps the breakdown of communities and families that causes the searching. We all want to, it's one of our basic human needs. We want to belong. We need shelter. We need clothing. We need belonging. And we need a sense of fulfillment and what we call self-actualization. And if that's where you're going to realize what you see as your potential, that's what you're going to do at all costs. It's the same thing as if you have a different goal. If your goal is to achieve a certain thing, you're going to do what it takes to achieve whatever that thing is. So where do the values lie? That's going to dictate what the behavior is going to be.
Mm-hmm. And it's a very complex issue. It's not as simple as telling a 12-year-old, just say no to gangs.
Right.
For many, it's a amount of, it's about survival.
Yep.
There are some very violent communities where joining a gang gives you safety.
Protection.
You'll know that, all right, you join this gang when you are off at school, your grandmother's house is safe. There's some men who walk to school every day and they're frisked by gang members where basically they're told to free up. Whatever is in their pockets, they got to give up. And if you don't join the gang, you're going to be subject to this every single day. So it's sometimes on a greater level. You can't just simply tell someone, you know what, gangs are no good.
Right.
And they're not going to get you anywhere. Sometimes there's no light here tomorrow. Just to survive, or even for the survival of those that they love, for the protection of those that they love. You ask a man who goes into jail, why do they join a gang? To survive.
Yeah.
As simple as that. So we have to look at our society on so many levels. We have a very sick society. We talk about the health of the nation is the wealth of the nation. It goes far beyond just physical health.
Mm-hmm.
It's the social health. It's the emotional health. It's spiritual health that we're lacking. Although we always say we're a Christian nation, there's so many un-Christian things happening all the time in this country. We really have to question what we're calling ourselves.
But you know, Doc, when I look and you look at Facebook and you look at WhatsApp and you see young people coming from school and you see all these fights that are going on, and I ask myself, man, what kind of country we want to have? And interesting is, I was reading an article the other day in Japan, society, rather than them concentrating on grades, they start off the young people teaching them respect, morals, what I call the philosophical nuances of life, rather than concentrating on, you know, you got an A or a B or a C. When they at their age of maturity, they're teaching them how to be good citizens, how to live, how to respect your society, how to respect each other. And man, I said, that's a wonderful thing to learn at that age. And so when you think about our kids and what's happening and what they're doing in school and all the fights and everything, We have to wonder what is going on.
And we also have to look at what is the consequence of gang life in our country. We look at, from a public health perspective, the most significant consequence of gangs in our society is violence. And violence among gangs is so prevalent that men are basically desensitized to it, as we mentioned. Human life has little or no value. We're trying to reach out to people as that. Not only do they not see a future, they do not care if they live or die. So there are no consequences that they can perceive for their reactions because they don't even care. They're dead inside already. They see no future. If they don't see themselves living to 19. They don't see themselves living to 20. So how are you going to ask them to care about society or care about, they feel like society has let them down. We have a call. Good evening. This is Urologist Speaks.
Good evening to all.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Doc, you ran a lot of hearts in this Bahamas.
Well, trying to save the nation, sir. Trying to save the nation.
You know, like, today they are poor young men that can't afford to get treatment for cancer.
Very much. Yes, you're correct.
That's real. And you know how things were back in the day to acquire a piece of property, you know, from a mage salary or straw markets or vendor salaries, not the same way it is today. You know, and see, these are a lot of young men, you know, and what they have in their community are role models, you see, of drug dealers. See the murder that comes from the drug dealing. You know, you have to see in the drug dealing business, you have to have respect of community, of the trades, the people in the trade. Because if somebody in the trade takes something from you, the only way to get their respect is to murder them. You understand me? This is where the violence comes from.
Yes.
You see, and these youths, them, they have no hope to ever be able to make anything of themselves. You know what I mean? I have no way other than drugs. They have ambitions to be wealthy. Mm-hmm. It's not to be drug dealers, mm-hmm. just to be wealthy, and they see it as the only hope. You yeah. see, then what we do is we these you notice it. You know the teachers striking today.
Yes.
Right, and the issues are more. But it's about other public servants, the people on the low end, the maids, and the, you understand what I'm saying? So even the teachers, they have issues with the paying their bills.
I said it many times. How can a typical teacher even afford rent in a middle-class community, much less actually own a home of their own? And so that's just going to dissuade for the brightest and the best from ever becoming teachers. And we need teachers, that they are the core of our society.
Right, and these are the teachers who you need to educate. These same ghetto youths or at-risk youths that we claim to say all they need is education.
And we need more positivity in terms of male role models, more male guidance counselors, more male principals, social workers.
We have teachers. We have a classroom of 30. Come on, it's 20 kids. That's too much.
30, we're talking 40 plus.
Okay, so those kids, the odds are against them. You know, we look at one or two of them, or say five of them out of 35 make it and become successful, you know what I'm saying? And we look at them, say those five can make it, and all of the others can make it.
Yeah, we're leaving too many behind. We're leaving too many behind. We need to change the way we teach our children, even if it means separating the boys and girls because they mature at different levels, and their minds mature are completely different for a 6-year-old boy and a 6-year-old girl. So to teach them the same way is not working. It's just not working. The way we're doing things is not working.
I feel they just need to teach them math and English. Forget all those other things.
Yes.
And English. There's no excuse.
Yes.
Just math and English. Mm-hmm. Put 20 in a class, 15 in a class. You know, when those youths go out on that field, you gotta give them a livable wage. Everybody needs a livable wage. You still need a livable wage. You're a human being. You got people that educated and make good wages. They have the dog living in the house. How could you have a dog living in your house and have no compassion for the ghetto who don't have a house, can't afford a house?
Many brilliant points, sir. Brilliant points.
Not even. You take your dog to the doctor. You understand what I'm saying? And you can go to the doctor and be cured. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, you know, do your best, bro. You know, and you don't sell the kids dreams, man. You know.
You don't ever give up on dreams, because even if you aim for the stars and you fall short and you're amongst the clouds, you're better off.
Something that's real.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Don't sell them dreams. You know, because dreams are something that is not real. A dream is a dream. You got to sell them reality.
I agree. So
this American dream, Bohemian dream, that's foolishness.
Correct.
We got to sacrifice. And do we ever hear about what you call it, our co-ops anymore in the workplace? You don't hear about those things. Why? Because the system we live in, we don't have an alternative system in small nations, because they can't even vote on zero, with zero emissions. What do they call it?
Carbon emissions?
Huh?
You're talking about carbon emissions? Yes.
They can't do that. something. You understand me? Same thing. We don't have independence. We are dictated to. We are still colonized. And then we want to sell these youths them something different. We got to tell them who they are. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But anyway, thank you much, man. Please.
Thank you for your point. So it's so many levels. We would talk about, let's just give scenarios. We had the best educational system in the world. A 14-year-old boy goes to school and doesn't learn anything because he's basically sleeping all the time. Then we want to know, why is he sleeping? What are some of the reasons? It could be that he has to work to support his family. He has to get up early and make lunch for his younger siblings and walk them to school. What are some of the reasons, well, Calvin Green?
You know, when we were talking offline, I mentioned to you, and one of the biggest reasons is that you have that fella in class and he's sleeping is because his mother, to put it quite bluntly, is entertaining and he can't sleep. He can't get proper rest. And he comes to school and his teeth is not combed, he's not properly groomed, because there's no one there to make sure that those kinds of things happen.
Well, even worse yet, let's make that 14-year-old boy a 14-year-old girl, and the parade of men that the mother is entertaining may stop on their way out and molest that young little girl on the couch. And there are too many women who refuse to go to the authorities when they know their child is being molested by their quote-unquote sugar daddy or their man paying the electricity or paying half the rent. As I've said many times, and I'll say it unabashedly, there are too many women in this society pimping out their own daughters. It's the norm in too many parts of our society where a 15-year-old, a 16-year-old is commonly dating a 55-year-old, a 62-year-old, a 70-plus-year-old with the adulation and support of the mother, the grandmother, and the aunts, because that child is bringing income. Money into the home.
Income.
And what does that do to that psyche of that woman?
Well, let me say something. You know, in our country, we love money. And what do I mean by that?
Easy money.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to work for money. Yeah, Nobody wants to make the sacrifice.
Yeah. We would sell anything. You could get anything done if you want to pay some money. If you go to, and I hate to say this, if you go to an office, and especially a government office, and you want to get something done, all you got to do is have a couple of dollars in your pocket and you can get
lunch.
That's right. That's all you got to do. And so we really, when it comes to money, we'll sell our soul to the devil. And that has been, so now we have lost a sense of what is right and what is wrong. We don't know that anymore, what is right and what is wrong, because money has become area, and a fellow feels good that they telling you how much cars he own or
right.
how much trips, and it's all illegal because of money. And these are the kinds of things that we go through in our country on a daily basis, because we don't understand. We've just lost a sense of that.
Right, and the caller made a good point that, the drug dealing isn't necessarily the desire. The desire is the outcome, which is money. The desire to become, the word he used was wealthy. And so they see it as their only guaranteed, really, source of substantial income. But then which I'm not sure if this is how he meant it, but this is how I will spin it. He said, sell the people reality. Don't sell them dreams. So I wonder if we, should we be preparing them for reality? Should we be a little bit more aggressive, which I think we are, on behalf of the ministry, preparing people for professional spaces where they work with their hands. Not every person is even designed to follow a certain path. So perhaps we equip these people to engage in trades, right? So, I know it would be desirable that everybody learns science, English, math, French, math, but the reality is we won't all do that, even under the best of circumstances. So I don't know. Is there some wisdom in Keep It Simple?
I mean, I would say some of the most brilliant persons that I know in this society are carpenters,
right,
are masons.
But suppose we were intentional.
Plumbers.
Suppose we were intentional.
And they do very well.
Right?
If
we
they
need them.
Have a skill.
We need them.
And they have the drive to succeed, they do better than most people.
Mm-hmm.
They do better, and they might not have been academically
right,
gifted.
Right, precisely.
But they have a strong sense of self and where they're going, and they do very well.
But yeah. And you teach them principles of business,
yes,
at the same time. You know, you don't need higher, you need just to be able to function.
We need white-collar people. Not one color is more successful
right.
than the other. And we're all integral to our society being a success. We have another call coming in. Good evening. This is Urologist Speaks.
Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Nice show. Nice show. My boy who called before me, the seminist, has called and talked to us for 45 years.
Wow.
No,
wow.
He promised his country personally. I could go to the house unannounced. And when I see the GHG, they can let me in the home. Bahamas is a rich country. See, we need to put politicians in our parliament who love the Bahamas, who love God, who love Bahamians. There's plenty of people like the Bahamas, you know, but they don't like Bahamians.
Mm.
Now, our leaders are weak. The one or two parliamentarians who I expect on both sides, there's only a handful of them. I talk to them, you know. Most of them in my chat groups, you know. See, but they ain't put money with them, you know. They got money, you know. Some of them don't have no children, and they weren't even adopt. They were sponsored a basketball team. They were sponsored a junk canoe. They don't do nothing. Meanie, hogs, dogs. How much more money does the boss want? Why he want to be a parliamentarian? I don't hate him, you know. When I voted for the lotto, for the thing of my vote, yes, for the lotto, and against the number boys. They're doing things illegally for years. They cannot put their money in the World Bank and the Bank of America thing, you know. See, in this country, it looks like when you do wrong things, you get rewarded. All the illegal people get a license of handguns. A person like me, I am a builder. I come from a school to the real plan. Represent this country. Take care of a lot of people. I don't brag and do no photo ops. People who know me know. I don't brag. I did because I love the country and love God. I see people like that. I ain't got no people. I'll give them things. The prime minister of the country, you need to take a pivot. You need to move some MPS. You need to move. Pay people the money, prime minister. Pay the contractors their money. Let them stop coming. If you ain't paying people, well, tell BEC and tell Obama, don't turn people things off. And we'll scrap the money and buy food to take your children and our grandchildren. Our people hating, man. Our people sleeping on the streets. And the car, where they be? The road, the place is filthy. You ride by the University of the Bahamas, the place is filthy. The water, the paint, the trees ain't trim. See, oh, look at our prison. Filthy, look at the hospital. Why is it so to judge you how you treat your people, how you treat the old, how you treat the homeless, how you treat the animals? They ride one hour, chauffeur driven red, pay the car. See, they said, but you're only nothing. You're almost as good as your last time around. See, and listen, I don't want us to do some bad things in the country. How do people burn the country? We are not going to burn this country down. We can run you all over this country. I've been in Old Fort, been in Liberty. We can take the voters from you. All of my keys, they belong to the Bahamian people. Texas has got 87,000 people. They give their people money every quarter. Why? The governor of Bahamas never give me and my children nothing. All they've been taxing me. The government charged me $200. That I did close out the water that I water registered. $200 I could put on my light bill or put on my cable bill. Isn't that fair to me? Foreigners come to start you and doing better than us. Foreigners can't speak English. You got a driver license. Can't drive around your boat. You in a twosome in the storm market, jet ski. Come on, man. You can't go to Gubbins Bay and speak all kinds of different language. And our language is English. They say when there's women's who are forces, PLP been there for them. I on the ground, my brother. I tell everybody, don't take the shit. Take the money. Take the money that bills. You know, pay bills. Pay me people I love you all. And these politicians hate us, man. We have to please do something, man. Because this country is like war. It's a civil war. Time to take my call, man.
Well, thank you for all your points. And you do and definitely sound like you have years of frustration. But I always like to take a different stance. I don't like to blame anybody. Let's look within ourselves. Let's look at within the home. What can we do? What is at our fingertips? I'll look another example. How many Bahamian women, frustrated by life, angered by their bad choices in life, enraged by the abandonment of the father of the child or children, will often unknowingly, negatively define their child's existence, their future, the outlook in life, their self-esteem, their future relationships by repeatedly saying things like, you are no good, just like your useless father. I hate you because you remind me of your father. You will never be a deadbeat loser like your demon father. Or ruin their daughter's future and chance at happiness and healthy, loving future relationship as an adult by repeatedly telling their daughter, all men are users and devils. Get whatever you can get from them and never ever show them love. Use your body to get all the material things you ever dreamed of. Where is our society headed when this is the mentality in so many homes in our society? We're going to talk about this and more on the other end of the break.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361. This October, let's come together for hope, support, and strength.
It's the Sister Sister Breast Cancer Support Group Dollar Day, happening Friday, October 17th from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. right on the...
The best part? With just $1, you can help make a difference in the fight against breast cancer. Every dollar counts toward awareness, education, and support for women battling this disease.
Come out, drop a dollar, and stand with us for a cause that touches so many lives.
Join us on Friday, October 17th from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. and let's turn every dollar into hope.
That's the Sister Sister Breast Cancer Dollar Day, proudly sponsored by The Guardian Media Group, Star 106.5, and The Guardian Radio 96.9.
Always on the go? Missed a show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere, on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. This is Urologist Speaks with Bahamian urologist Dr. Gregory Pinto with my co-host Dr. Christine Parker Curling, who is a Bahamian endocrinologist and internist. And we have a youth leader, a man involved in tourism, catering, restaurant business for many years. He's also the co-chair of the National Junk Canoe Committee. He's also the secretary of the Bahamian Boxing Commission. Mr. Calvin Green, so we were talking about many things that are hitting our country and all the negative ways. Let's move on to immigration. Immigration is a hot-button issue. Immigration has our country at its knees, and we're at fault for many things, including bringing most of the people who are bringing in illegal Haitians or Jamaicans or Nigerians or wherever they're coming from are Bahamians. The Bahamians are the ones who are housing them. Bahamians are the ones who are giving them jobs illegally and refusing to hire our own. But I'm going to talk about a personal experience. Going back 25 years ago when I was an intern working on labor ward at Princess Margaret Hospital, there were many days, and we would talk about it, and the midwives and nurses, the other interns, the obstetrician gynecologists would see it and head it. There would be days that there were more Haitian children born to illegal Haitian women than Bahamian women. And that was the norm. And I would say, where is our country headed? And I would speak to many of them. And many of them would be in labor for hours on end. And I remember asking several of the Haitian women on several different occasions, Why would you leave the hardship of Haiti to come here and have five children for five different men? You don't have a job. You have no future in sight. Why are you dooming yourself to a future of poverty? And they basically said, and I heard it repeatedly, most of these women who are here illegal believe that the more children that they have who are born on Bahamian soil, the less likely immigration is going to be able to deport them. The more children, more importantly, that they have for Bahamian men, and there are Bahamian men who are willing to take money to get illegal women pregnant so they can have a Bahamian child. Where's our country headed? And these women are smart. They try to assimilate their children into our society. Many times the child will be born. What are you going to call the child? Well, I'm going to call him Davis. I'm going to call him Roberts. I'm going to call him Coakley as his first name, because they know if they call him that, oh, hey, Coakley, they have in their mind that their child is Bahamian. So it's a very deep and complicated issue. We have another call coming. This is Urologist Speaks. Good evening.
Yes, good afternoon, Dr. Pinto.
Good afternoon, good evening. How are you, sir? Yes.
Okay. It used to be crime, which was our number one issue. But right now, it's immigration. And if you were to fix immigration, our immigration vote, you would basically be able to fix the entire country. Because if you don't know how many persons are in your country, how could you have any realistic anything? You can't build a new hospital because you don't know how many bed space you would need. You can't try to present a realistic budget because you don't know who all are in the country and what you're going to have to spend money on. So we're in a serious situation. But we always blame Bahamians. Blanket statement. It's Bahamian. How about it being the government? Why not start with the government, Dr. Pinto?
I agree. But also we have to look within ourselves. So we'll read about 40 illegal immigrants going before the guild. What about the other 40,000 that all of us know are around that walk freely? Exactly. I mean, it's a bigger issue. And I would say I know personally many persons in the top echelon of immigration, the director of immigration, the assistant director of immigration, the deputies in immigration. And these are good people who have good ideas, good intention, honest people who want to turn things around. The same thing in the police department. I know innumerable assistant commissioners of police.
Right.
And they have good intention. They put their life on the line. They sacrifice their own family life to try to better this country. Literally putting their life on the line. Defense force, the same thing. Corrections department, social. So we have good people. There's not a lack of good people or good intention, and honest people as well. You can't have a blanket statement and say this whole department is no good or take bribes and everything else. I say that the vast majority of people in immigration are excellent people who love our country.
But Dr. Pinto, to put it to you like this, while they might be excellent people, right? They need to abreast themselves of our Constitution, and they need to look at our law. You can't put people in these key positions if they don't understand the law, they don't understand what qualifies an individual for citizenship, etc. They're just following the script and doing what they're supposed to do. But the government is our biggest problem, because the Nationality Act that they are using to regularize these people, the Constitution didn't give them any power to do so. Article 13 of our Constitution asks the Parliament to write laws that would address Article 7.1 in our Constitution, which speaks to citizenship. But this is what they did. Let's say, look at Article 7.1. Article 7.1 states that anyone born in the Bahamas prior to 1973 can apply to be registered as a citizen. Now, when you look at the guests that we invited here, that provision was designed for persons who cleared customs and immigration. If you invite an expat to the Bahamas, a doctor, a teacher, a lawyer, or whatever the case may be, they have a child. That child have a right to register as a Bahamian upon the age of 18. But in many cases, they don't. because they are from a first world country. They're not interested in relinquishing their status to third world status. The only persons who would be anxious to do this is someone who came from lesser standard, and this is why you see the overwhelming flow of persons coming here. But the Parliament of the Bahamas is wrong, and they continue to ignore it. But we're going to have to step out of the box and petition President Donald Trump and the ambassador-elect to address this vexing issue, because the U.S. cannot be seen to be part and parcel of countries like the Bahamas, who are using this immigration problem, who is stacking our voters' registration list with people who are not even qualified to vote, but they're giving them citizenship to vote. Why would you want to do something like that? Why?
You know, you may put some of this on the government, but I put a lot of this on our Bahamian people too. And a lot of it does because a lot of people are making money from this. Mm. They're making money from the situation. When you hear of people having passports and other information before they even go through the procedure of what it is that they should go through before they even get here, how could that be?
Right.
How could that be? So we have created this monster ourselves, and then we know people are here illegally, and we hire them, like Doc said, we do all the things that make them comfortable, and we know that. So you can't blame everything on the government. We Bahamians in our country, we got a lot of laws on our books. And we don't follow them.
What does he say?
So the government agencies don't follow it? See, because look, if I'm breaking the law, you write a serious law saying that anyone who's found engaging in this type of practice will get 10 years, 15 years. You will see a difference, but we get a slap on the wrist. So
that's
the government isn't serious about addressing this problem. Let's face it, they're not, if they were serious, look at Donald Trump. You think Donald Trump's serious about addressing his immigration problem?
Well, that's
look
the
at
one
the
thing
Bahamas. We relaxed our laws to make it easier for persons to come here. They're not really moving here by boat no more. Now the government is flying them in. Do you know how many flights a week we allow to fly in from our neighbors from the south?
Why would you say the government is flying them in? I mean, are these people not paying Bahamas here? I mean, buying tickets and coming here? And now when we reach the immigration process, that is another story, but I don't think the government would deliberately fly them in.
Are they leaving? Do you know, right now, Ben Monroe, the Minister of National Security, he called in tourists. Okay. Do you know how many tourists we had fly in from Haiti? We know how much Canadians come, we know how much Americans come. Do you know how many tourists
came in
on these flights, which is like 12 a week?
That's because we don't monitor the situation. We don't monitor the process.
We don't want to do it.
We don't want to do it. Okay.
We can't monitor it as Bahamians. The government needs to take a stand and lead the charge, but they are sleeping. They're not even checking because they know it's a benefit to them. But if I were a leader of a particular party, I would challenge that voter registration list and put this whole election in turmoil because they are creating a new voters bloc. And no one is taking the stance to challenge it. But I would challenge every person who is regularized. That's how you could address the problem. But they're not moving, and they're not backing down.
You made some brilliant points, and it's a complex issue. We have to look at it.
It is a complex issue. It's a corruption issue. It's not complex.
It is.
If I could fix it overnight.
Both of those things.
Yes.
It isn't complex. It's corrupt.
Do you think we would have such an overwhelming immigration problem if nobody hired illegal immigrants, if nobody rented to illegal immigrants?
Well, if they're not here, if immigration would do their job and they're not here, you're going to have no reason to hire anybody. But you could go on Cowpen Road on any given day and you'll find them. I'm not one who has a problem with my neighbors from the south, you know, because when that maiden ship left Africa, Bahamians on board that ship, there were no Haitians, there were no Jamaicans, we were all Africans. So let me make that clear. But I thank God that my ancestors from West Africa, Ghana, end up in the Bahamas as opposed to any place else. But these political leaders don't understand it. They're giving them out like candy. They're giving these citizenship out like candy. What was the reason? Watch this election. I don't know if you watched the last seven one, but I'll tell you about this one. You saw, I'm seeing three prime ministers, Hubert Ingram, I see Perry Christie, I saw Brave Davis, and then, it's four. And then I see Dr. Minnit. They all go into these shanty towns around election time and have our language, English language, translated in Creole so they could appeal to the voters. Now, is this insane? Who is the biggest perpetrator to this evil?
You're correct.
You can't blame the behemoths. If the government take a stand and say take a zero tolerance approach like what Donald Trump is taking, we wouldn't have this problem.
This issue
but they're doing
is complex.
And they know what they're doing, but they have created a whole new voting bloc. And I would challenge the parliamentary registrar to prove in law how he was able to regularize these people and give them passports to vote. But then guess what? They are voting today, and we're taking it for a joke, you know. But in the next very short few years, they will be running for office and we'll lose this country forever.
Right. So the question is, all the babies that were born 25, 35, 40 years ago, where are they now? And how many people?
Are they now?
Precisely. And who?
They are waiting for immigration.
Precisely.
They are planted onto our system like
right.
On.
So who is of mixed heritage, you don't know. So you're asking people to take a stand that they might not have an interest in taking. So,
but the government have to lead the
but
and show that they're serious.
Right, but you're calling on the government to enforce things.
And then enforce it against the Bohemian who decided to put...
But is that person
in this practice
of mixed heritage? So you are trying to create a separation where it may no longer exist.
What may no longer exist?
It's a very, very complex. And it's vexing for many behemoths.
This problem has been brewing for decades. Decades and decades. It's mushrooming out of control, but it's been brewing for decades. And it's a lot of it is neglect as well. We have to have the foresight that if we don't turn things around, our country will not be our own. But we have to decide, is this little Haiti? Is this little Jamaica or is this the Bahamas?
Yeah.
That's as simple as that. But we need to have great minds come together and we need to do our part. We need to be good citizens. So that means we don't hire illegal immigrants. We have to look at our own work ethic. We're the hardworking young men. If we didn't have any illegal Haitians, I'll put this question forward to both other panelists. Would we have a construction industry or the construction industry be on its knees?
But you know, Doc, we really shouldn't use that as an excuse.
I agree, but I'm talking about reality.
Yeah, while I understand that we shouldn't use that as, you see, because for me personally, when I think about this, it's vexing for me too. Because I think about it in terms of, it's like somebody coming into my house, taking all my food, eating it, and not even asking me for it. And I feel violated. And that's how I feel violated when I think about this problem to me. And then you blame me. I always say, why are you blaming me? You need to blame the people where you come from that make you run from where you come from to come here. Don't what I have.
We have another call coming in. Good evening. This is Urologist Speaks.
Yes, good evening. You know, the late Honorable Loftus Rockefeller signed writing on the wall a long time ago. You know, that's why when they used to come, they come and give them medical assistance and ship them back out, you know. But, you know, and now, you know, I know you fellows with the phone to London and all of this whole issue of these immigration problems and stuff, you know. But, you know, the chickens come home the roost now. You know, we don't have, it's like, you ain't got no control over the situation now. That's my 5 cents.
Excellent points. But I also say we ship them back at the hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars that we could have used for other things that are badly needed in our society. Obviously, it's necessary. But when they come right back, what are we doing? There have to be consequences to someone that we deport.
You know,
and come back without any consequences.
The country, it, it's unstable. They can't even keep a president too long. You know, I mean, as fast as they come in, they run them out, or they murder them, or, you know, they have riots, and they bring the same type of mentality and behavior over here. You know, we only have a little dot on the map. I mean, we can't take all of this.
No.
Can't.
No. It's a vaccine.
Yeah, it is a vaccine problem, Calvin Green, but we have more problems than just, we have to also look at that. We need positive immigration. We don't have enough persons who are qualified.
Controlled immigration.
We need controlled positive immigration. Mm-hmm. Not only just look in terms from the health perspective. Mm-hmm. We have a very small DNA pool. If all we do is marry within this small DNA pool, the DNA mutations are going to continue, and that's why we have such high BRCA gene mutations.
Yeah.
BRCA1, BRCA2, and other gene mutations.
Things.
That's why we have, particularly in some family islands, so many high rates of colon cancer or breast cancer, because we have such a small gene pool.
Yeah.
But we have enough persons who are Bahamian through and through, or are suffering and are disadvantaged and who need our help. We cannot, as a nation of 400,000 persons, take on another 100,000 persons from another who are also in need and are disadvantaged.
Right.
We need to take the brightest and the best from U.S., from Canada, from Guyana, from Trinidad. We need to get the brightest and the best, not those who are seeking refuge, who are at the bottom of the barrel, who are scraping to make it by. We have enough Bahamians who are scraping to make it by. We need immigration.
Flights to the Bahamas, like insulting the intelligence.
Yeah. I've never heard that, never seen that.
Yeah, but immigration has its place. It has to be done in a controlled manner. We need to have positive immigration in terms of positive people that our country need, who are going to uplift our country.
That would have to mean a mind shift by our government right away. And I don't know, we don't react too well in our country until it kills us all, and then someone say, all right, 20 Bahamians died, we got to do something now. And that's how we continue to work in our country. We wait till everything becomes a problem before we solve it.
Let me just ask a question to the panelists. Let's look at a deeper issue. We can talk about this problem, immigration, that problem. Let's talk within ourselves. A Bahamian young lady who has a mother who had seven children for seven men. She went on to have six children for five men. And each one of those men served a purpose. One was paying the rent. One was paying for the rent of paying for the car. One was paying the school fees. One was providing a clothing allowance. How can any of those five children living in that circumstance, where their mother is basically pimping herself out, and where is a society going if that is becoming the norm? The nuclear family is a thing of the past.
No.
Thing of the past. And how, and with the rising cost of living, how can this woman with, and then these men are not going to stick around.
Right.
So eventually she's going to be raising these kids on her own. And the struggle that she started with is just going to get worse and worse and worse. And she's never going to be able to redeem. The cycle continues. So her daughter is going to do the same thing. Her son is going to be a part of that same problem as well. Our problems are vast and deep.
Mm-hmm.
And go to the heart and soul of our own country when we have pastors and reverends molesting young children, and their wives are going to before the court saying, oh, he was a good provider, please provide him leniency. When you have a son raping his own
sister
and the mother praying for leniency, we have a sick society. We can't blame any other nationality for that. We're sick within ourselves. We have another call coming in. This is Urologist Speaks.
Good evening, doctor and doctor, so to speak.
Good evening.
And Mr. Calvin Green, yes.
Yes, thank you.
Good evening.
I've been hearing this conversation over and over again, and I've noticed that persons do not fall in the form of a, on the other side of the equation, in the balance, to speak of the positive virtues of our neighbors from the South. In particular, I'm speaking to the Haitian. I am conceived in Trinidad and Tobago, born in Guyana, and so I have a, and studied in Jamaica, lived in Jamaica, living in the Bahamas, married and family and the rest of it. But I see a great percentage of, in quotation marks, Haitian Bahamians attending church and contributing positively. They may listen and be quiet and maybe afraid that if they speak, that somebody may say, oh, not so, go back to where you came from and the rest of it. We know that economics or economists have said that for development, you also need population growth and the rest of it. And I think when we think more of integration and also how we can complement each other, we'll be more productive. As a teacher, I also see the good and the bad. We have Haitian students who may be deviant, behavior, just because we have behavior or any other nationality could be deviant. And we also have holistic children from those sides, and even from our own. So rather than say just we want to have brilliant Guyanese, brilliant Trinidadians, we also want brilliant Bahamians, we want brilliant Haitians, we want everyone to succeed. And that's my five cents in this matter right now.
Yeah, but you know, Carla, what I will say to you is that most Bahamians, what you're saying is very, very true. And Bahamians don't have no problem with that. The problem what Bahamians have is when they think about this whole process is that people just coming and overrunning the country without doing it the right way. That's the problem with Bahamians have. And for me, that's a problem for me too. I can't just decide I'm going to move to the United States and not go through the proper procedures and policy. I mean, you don't just come and take somebody country over. I think that's what Bahamians are having.
And we can't just go and build an illegal structure on government land and steal electricity and water and everything else. We have to go by, we have to get our permits. We need to go through the Ministry of Works. We have to do everything the right way, or we're going to get fined, or we're going to get our construction shut down. But why are there so many shanty towns? Obviously, now and then they'll tear them down, and then they'll be built back, if not in the same spot, somewhere else.
There's complicity in form of governments and authorities allowing that. So yes, that is also a point of concern, and therefore. The greed and for some persons may be benefited from it, that needs to be addressed. And we need proper border security and the rest of it. But sometimes the way the picture is painted, it gives the impression that they're more delinquent than upright people.
No, I would say, I know many teachers, and they would say, if anybody's coming for a parent-teacher meeting, it's someone... who was a non-Bahamian. Mm-hmm. If you look on construction sites, who are the hardest working persons there? Mm-hmm. The most reliable, the most honest?
Even in businesses.
They're unfortunately not from the point of view of the non-Bahamian, but that the Bahamian is not the hardest working.
No.
And that's why so many persons want to get something done. What are they looking for? They're looking for a non-Bahamian because they can't rely on a Bahamian to give a honest day hard work.
Yeah.
And that's where our society is at. And it's a bigger issue. I always say, I'm this is an apolitical radio show. I don't talk about religion either. But if the government were to change tomorrow, would any of these issues change? If the government changed 5 years from now, would any of these issues change? No. We have to look within ourselves and what are we responsible for. Any closing remarks, Mr. Calvin Green?
Only thing I would say is, and we didn't mention as it relates to a man, we need more mentorship. I would like to emphasize that for our young men. We need more role models, men that they can look up to. And I did a training about 2 weeks ago for the Boys Club where we had about 20 men who we're just trying to put into the trenches so we could have more mentorship for our men. Hopefully you could save some of them.
Okay. Dr. Parker Curling, what are your thoughts?
I agree. The mentorship, because like you said, in a lot of situations, the examples, the encouragement, the words that you can do anything, the words that you can try aren't coming from home. And so the mentorship for both boys and girls maybe breaks down barriers of possibility, even the idea that something is possible.
Well, my closing remarks that we need to sort out this crime situation. We need to give young men hope, pride in their own society. We need to correct our judicial system, and we need positive immigration. My father is a foreigner. I'm a product of that. My wife is a foreigner. Some of my closest friends who inspire me are foreigners. We, our nation is going to be uplifted by positive migration. And I say some of the hardest working and best people I've met in our society are actually of Haitian descent or Haitian. So let's do it the right way.
Yeah.
Have a good evening and have a safe week, Bahamas.
Thank you.
Early prevention, but lead in your pencil make you feel like a champion.
Rise up again.
Let nothing keep you down.
Don't live your best.
Ask an heavy urologist.